Following his war to settle the score against Phil Baroni last June, MMA fans have been patiently waiting for Frank Shamrock to return to action. Well, wait no more, as it was recently announced that Shamrock will be facing Kung Lee March 29th on a co-promotion between Elite XC and Strikeforce. That fight is just over 2 months away, so we've invited Frank for a walk in the park to discuss his upcoming bout and all the other madness going down in his career. What's going on, Frank?
Yeah, same old craziness. Just finished wrestling for about 45 minutes.
So you found out about the Kung Lee fight. It's official. Obviously, you've probably known about it for a couple of weeks now. I'm curious, because when you came back to action last year, you mentioned that you wanted to take fights that made dollars and cents. You wanted to fight the big guys, the big names that would get you sort of amped up to train and get back into the cage or the ring. So why Kung Lee? I mean, you know, you look at most top 10 lists, he's not up there in the top 185 pounders. Obviously a big name in San Jose, but why have you decided to take this fight with Kung Lee?
Well, for two reasons. He's a tremendous draw, and he's had 10 years on ESPN and ESPN2 as a martial artist and as a combative martial artist. So he has big name value and recognition. And what most people don't know about Kung Lee is that he's a world champion and high-class level striker. And I think that's where the sport needs to be going and where the sport is going to end up. And to me, that's a big challenge. He may not be that experienced in MMA, but he's very experienced in the striking arts of many martial arts.
Following the last time that we saw Kung compete, in Strikeforce, you had mentioned some things as though, you know, just part of all kind of promoting a fight that, you know, he's going to get used to being the number two guy in town, and that you also said that it would be a waste of money, though, to make this fight because you would totally smash him. So why sort of the change of opinion now?
Well, it's not. I just like to demoralize Kong because that's part of my psychological strategy. I know he'll go on and hear those things, and it'll crush his soul a little bit. I've always thought it was a good fight, and I've been building it to make it this point. And moreover, I think it's going to be an exciting fight, and that's what we really need in mixed martial arts. If this sport's going to go mainstream, is fights that make sense, that sell well, and then that look good.
For those that don't know a lot about Kung, I mean, obviously he's a huge star in where you're from, San Jose, and everyone in that area and really on the West Coast is, you know, clamoring to see this bout. But for those that don't know about him, obviously what you bring to the table is as good as anyone in the sport. How big of a star is he in San Jose? I mean, when that March 29th bout comes along, will this sort of top the hoopla around Baroni and Shamrock, which was really one of the most hyped fights and one of the fights that really lived up to the hype in 2007?
I think we had something unique with Baroni when I fought Baroni. That was a different flavor. You know, it was kind of East Coast, West Coast, bad boy, good boy, kind of, you know, your traditional story. And I spent over a year marketing that event, and I think that's the real secret to making these things huge. What Kung Lee brings is, you know, he's really the baby face star of San Jose. Everybody loves Kung Lee, and everybody knows who he is. When he fights in the arena as a main event with just a standard undercard, he sells 10,000 seats. When I fight at an arena, and I'm the main event, you know, I sell 12, 13,000 seats. So you're talking about an enormous amount of people that, that know of Kung and know of me. And Kung is kind of the traditional martial arts guy who, you know, born in Vietnam, you know, really came up as your poor, average, everyday fighter to become a world champion. And I'm your American version of that. And for whatever reason, that just, you know, people pick a side and it sets them off, and I think we're going to sell 16, 18,000 seats, and I know for a fact that the whole town is whispering and clamoring about this event.
You mentioned the term babyface when describing Kung. I've always felt, especially lately, you know, with the YouTube videos and all the stuff that you did leading up to the Baroni fight, that, I mean, pro wrestling has got to be somewhere lurking in the back of your mind in terms of how to sell a fight and hype it, right?
Well, it is. We're in the business of sports entertainment. And we're in the entertainment business. We're not in the fighting business. You know, if it were the best fighters in the world, you know, they wouldn't have a reality show. If it were the best fighters in the world, it would just be the top 10 guys fighting each other all the time. And, you know, the problem with most of these people promoting the sport and fans of the sport, they don't really understand how to market and create characters and build stories and get people involved. The TV people understand it, but they don't know anything about fighting. So I think there's a huge, you know, there's a huge loss of information between the two worlds. And I grew up as a fan of pro wrestling. I get it. I understand my role and, you know, how to amplify that and what to do. And people, especially, you know, mixed martial arts stars, MMA stars, they need to learn how to do that.
So that said, are you, is it safe to say that going into March 29th, you will be sort of playing the role of the heel in this bout?
Yeah, I think I'm the bad guy.
Even in your local town?
Yeah. But, you know, I'm the, see, I walk a tight line, you know. My biggest influences for how I present myself is, you know, was Muhammad Ali and Bruce Lee and then Mike Tyson. And, you know, to combine all those three, you've got a lot of, you know, things that cross over that normally wouldn't. But, you know, I can, you know, like, here's the example. I went down to the bank. I'm doing a big loan deal with them. And the guy's like, oh, I don't have the form. And I look at him. I go, look, get the form or I'll kick your ass. And the guy was traumatized. And then he realized that I was joking with him and that I was saying it in jest. And he got a big kick out of it. I'm the type of guy that can say that to people and they don't get mad and they don't get their heckles raised and they don't get upset. So I'm, you know, everybody roots for me, but there's a lot of people that go, you know, oh, I would never say that. I would never do this. In my opinion, they just don't have the stones or they would do it.
So to kind of compare it to, you know, today's pro wrestling world, you would kind of be a sort of Stone Cold Steve Austin type of character where you're kind of a gray area as far as your personality, as opposed to black and white babyface heel of the old days. You know, you'll be the badass, but at the same time, people will either choose to love or hate you, and they can very well see reasons why to do both.
Easily. And I'm the PG-13 version of that.
Right, exactly.
Because I also really believe that, you know, I know I'm a role model. I know I'm a leader. I accept it. I embrace it. I teach martial arts. I guide the community. And, you know, my wife would never tell somebody, you know, well, you're a knucklehead. That's why you keep doing this or whatever. The reason why you can't do this is you got a roll of fat in the way. My wife is way too sweet. She would never tell that to somebody. I would tell somebody that. And some people respect me because it's the truth. And some people get their feelings hurt because it's the truth.
All right, so the big question is, you know, the YouTube videos surely helped sell that fight with Baroni. Should we be expecting more classic Frank Shamrock YouTube videos coming up?
Absolutely.
Really?
So I've actually made a whole new term for them. I call them mockumentaries.
Interesting. Okay, so what is the kind of approach that you're going to be taking with these?
Well, obviously, Kung doesn't have the experience being the inflated personality. So I realized, you know, Baroni was the best guy in the world to throw a fight with because, you know, you throw the ball at Baroni and he comes swinging to hit it back at you well over the fence. Kung is not. So I'm just going to take the truth, mix it up a little bit with a little bit of legend and theory, and then I'm going to hype it up, amp it up, and send it out there.
Yeah, because it's got to be tough when you have a guy like Kung Lee who's so well-liked. I mean, there's certain aspects
right.
of Baroni. You have obviously you have the easy parts of, you know, him being from New York and people on the West Coast hate New Yorkers, and he's, you know, somewhat of a controversial character. But with Kung, I mean, this guy, when you look at him, he's such a sweet face. You know, he never said a bad word about anyone in the sport. So that said, you're going to have to try to work even harder this time about, right?
Right. I mean, my job becomes twice as hard. But at the same time, you know, a guy like that will defend himself by telling the truth. So if I say I mix some truth up and sprinkle him with a little bit of you know, theatrics and energy, I can get him to step up and to, you know, rightfully defend the truth. And in that way, he will sell the fight for it and be himself.
So when should we be expecting
really,
the first one of those?
I can't really tell you exactly what I'm going to do, but I think you'll enjoy it.
When should we be expecting the first round of those videos?
First round's going to come out next week.
Oh, really? Okay. So have you already taped it?
No, we've already planned them.
Okay.
So it's just a matter of going into production for us. And, you know, these are things that I pay for. I film. I hire people. You know, I realize the value of marketing, and I also understand that our age group and our audience, you know, they're internet savvy, they're technology savvy, you know, they're online, they're on mobile phones, and, you know, we need to create marketing directly for them and the world they live in.
What about the production value? Are you going to step it up this time?
Yeah, you know, I got a little more money this time, so we do a little more production value, have a little more fun. And you know, the truth is, when we started, it was just kind of, you know, it was fun. It had young guys working for me, and it was young ideas. But, you know, all of our marketing campaigns were launching through the internet and, you know, in a viral sort of way that everybody can access easily and reference to. And, you know, I think it's the way of the future, the internet. And, you know, we're spending a good penny on it.
You know, speaking of internet campaigns, right before the Kung Lee fight was announced, you put up this website, bloodbrotherspayperview.com. You and Ken Shamrock, excuse me, looking at each other with a countdown, which according to my math, and I didn't really do the exact, you know, day-to-day, but it looks like it would be December of 08. How close are you to actually signing that bout?
It's signed.
Oh, it's signed, sealed, and delivered.
Oh, it's happening. So I'm just looking for a major pay-per-view company, network partner to distribute it for me. But I've been working on that one silently for 2 years. And, you know, this is an event that's going to change mixed martial arts and how the public views mixed martial arts.
Well, obviously, just a couple of days ago, it was announced that Ken and his son Ryan had been signed to Elite XC. So wouldn't it make most sense to have that fight under the Elite XC banner, possibly on Showtime?
Absolutely. Showtime, you know, we're giving them first crack, and rightfully so. They've taken care of me, and they've, you know, put a lot of energy into the sport. They really believe in it. So, you know, I envision a 24/7, you know, reality type promotional marketing campaign, just like they do for big boxing. And, you know, with a year to market a fight, no one's ever marketed a fight for a year except for Frank Shamrock. And everyone we've done, which has been Cesar Gracie and Phil Baroni, every fight we've marketed for more than a year has been an overwhelming success.
Is there a chance that this fight would end up on, you know, on free Showtime or on a cable network like that, or are you set in having it be on pay-per-view?
Well, I think that this is a pay-per-view product. If any product is a pay-per-view product, I think this is the one. Because it has that question, that once-in-a-lifetime question that they used to launch the UFC. And that question then was, who would win if you put a martial artist against a martial artist? And at that time, no one had ever asked or answered the question. Now we know the answer. It's mixed martial arts, it's all martial arts. The next big question is, who would win if brother fought brother, if blood fought blood, and legendary brothers? You know, what would be the outcome? What would be the response? What would be the feeling? Like, how would the world look at that? And I think people will pay, they'll pay handsomely, and they'll be very, very pleased when they see the result.
Now, the obvious question in my mind is, you know, you look at Ken Shamrock, obviously, you know, getting up there in terms of his career, in terms of his age. Kung Lee, on the flip side of things, only 5 fights in his career, younger than Ken. Why not make the Ken fight first?
Well, I think it just comes down to a term and marketing place. You know, this thing needs time. It takes a year. This is what I've realized. Even though we have a world now that can instantly communicate with each other, you know, across the globe, it still takes a year to tell everybody in the world one thing. And I really believe that it's going to take a year. to really get this thing out there and to really tell the story. Most people that are new to the sport don't know the story of the Shamrock Brothers.
Right.
They don't know, how we built the sport and, what we've sacrificed and all the things that we've done with each other and against each other, to get where we are today. And, that type of story and that type of legacy, the UFC doesn't care about that kind of thing. But people care about history and legacy and family and blood. And when you tell that type of story, it's going to take a while. But when the story's told and the conclusion is there, which is the fight, now you got a real show.
Now, this one's an interesting one because most of the fights that you hear about that are being signed are obviously under, an organization's banner. I mean, the IFL, Elite XC, UFC, etc. But with this one, when you kind of unleashed this website, there was no promotion attached to it. Ken is signed by Elite XC. Did that kind of throw a curveball into everything, or is everything still, cool and as planned?
Everything is as it's supposed to be. And what most people don't understand about this fight is this isn't the UFC, this isn't IFL. This is Shamrock putting this fight on. We're doing this together. Ken and I both decided that, look, we grew up this way. To the rest of the world, fighting your brother is crazy. To mom, that's crazy. To dad, that's unacceptable. To people like Ken and I who grew up doing this and fought each other for free and fought over the world, and this is how we became successful and raised our families. This is something that we need to be able to do for ourselves, not only for the monetary gain, but also because I don't want somebody else telling my story and bending it for their own financial gain. It's the story of my life. It's the story of Ken's life. And we need to be in control of that, or it's going to come out to be something other than what we want it to be.
As things stand today, what is your relationship like with Ken?
It's same as it's always been. He can't stand me. And I think he's a big bully.
So the sort of negotiations to get this all done, have that been a problem
been a 2-year task of diligence and calm happiness and frustration, and it's been challenging. I don't know if you have a brother, but
no, absolutely. It's got two.
Yeah, if you don't get along with your brother, that's one thing, but then to try to do business with your brother and have that business be fighting is a whole nother, challenge.
Are you at all worried that he can, maybe take you down one more time? I mean, you look at his last two bouts, Tito Ortiz, not exactly his best performances out there. So when you look at that, there has to be no real concern once this bout is going to actually happen almost 2 years later that he can actually put up a good fight against you, right?
Well, the truth is I don't worry about anybody fighting me. I study the art of fighting. Most people go out and fight. Most people go and train. I study the art of fighting. So every person I look at is, they're just a number. They're just a formula. Ken's got age against him, injuries against him. Stylistically, we match up well, though. He's bigger, he's stronger. We basically have the same style. We just have a different mindset of it. And Ken's the type of guy that, he'll let you break his arm before he gives up. And imagine, if you do have a younger brother, imagine your younger brother kicking your ass. That's a pride thing that, I'm going to have to, choke him out or, do something serious to get him to give up that win, that pride, that whatever. So I don't expect an easy fight, and I don't expect an easy technical match. I expect a war.
You mentioned recently that you have your plan is to fight 10 more years, once every 6 months. So after the Shamrock fight, let's just say that's the second fight of 08 for you. Is it safe to assume that the next one after that you want to fight is Henzo Gracie?
Yeah, if Henzo will step up, and he's got like another month or two to make a decision, but I don't think he's going to personally. So I think, he's got a month. If he can't figure it out, then I'm going to go past him and go on to the next thing. And the next thing might be Robbie Lawler, who's holding the Pro 185 title.
Why does he have to make a decision from now if that bout would only be, next June?
Yeah. Well, we asked him 5 months away from the fight, and he said that he couldn't get ready in time. Now, if you can't get ready to fight somebody in 5 months, you ain't fighting them.
So were you
So
trying to
my
fight
father
him in
said,
08 or 09?
I tried to fight him this March. He was supposed to be March 29th. We asked him in October, and he couldn't get ready in time. So I'm from the world of fighting. I know when someone says, if it's more than 3 months and they can't get ready in time, they don't want to fight you.
Are you interested at all in fighting Josh Thompson? And I'm not talking about in a courtroom, actually,
Well, he
in a
don't have the stones to stand with me in court either, or the money. But
How's that going?
no.
Did he actually sue you?
No, he didn't sue me.
So that was just all
He
talk?
just made a big stink about it. He's not going to sue me. What's he going to sue me for? I think he is gay. But
Still, he hasn't proved.
if I'm not scared of the UFC, I'm not scared of Josh Thompson.
And why should you be scared of the UFC, right?
Yeah, well, could be the giant lawsuits they have against me. I was going to call Randy and tell him, watch out, man, because they are some malicious and mean people for no reason.
Do they still have lawsuits against you, or you mean in the
Oh, yeah.
past?
I have two very big lawsuits against me.
For what?
Trademark infringement, copyright infringement, torturous whatever. They just make up stuff, and then because they have, a $1 billion company, they just try to grind you into the ground and make you disappear.
So it's safe to say that in those 10 years that you think that you'll be fighting, none of those will ever be in a UFC octagon, right?
Unless they all fall over dead and leave it to me, I don't see it happening.
All
You
right.
know, they're the truth is they're big business and they don't really care about anybody. They care about making money. They care about themselves. They don't care about mixed martial arts, or anything else. They care about building a monstrous, powerful brand that controls everything. And if you stand in their way, they will do anything and everything to crush you. And Randy Couture is about to find that out.
How do you foresee that all going down? Because obviously you're very opinionated. You've been through this whole ordeal with them, on some level. Do you think that he will actually be able to get out of the contract and eventually go fight Fedor, which just seems to be what he wants?
No, I don't think so.
Seems like
I've
what.
seen those contracts, and Randy's a savvy dude, but he's going to need a very serious war chest to go to war with those guys. And I don't think they're about to lose face or lose, their branded talent for any cost. So.
Do you think he handled the situation well?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I would have done the same, but he made a statement, and I respect him for what he did. From a legal standpoint, he's got issues. The moment he handed over that contract for people to look at, he had major issues. So, I respect him. I respect Randy more than anybody else in the business because he's a stand-up dude and he's a good businessman, he's a good guy. And he believes in what we're doing, for more than just money. He believes it's a lifestyle, it's a community thing, it's what we do.
Frank, before I let you go, any updates on the reality show?
Yeah, we the major network that was had the exclusive to it basically at the end of the day turned us down, said it was too gritty. You believe that? Too gritty. So we're making the rounds now to all the major networks, and we're seeing what we can come up with. We hold all the rights to it, so it's in a great position. But we'd really, I'd fallen in love with this network, and I thought for sure that we'd found a home with them. But we're out and about doing stuff,
What
and
network
then
was that?
I don't know if I can say. Well, I guess if they turn this down, I guess we can. So it would
Right.
have been Court TV that just turned into True TV.
Right.
So, I'll just say it. But I don't know when this will air, but I have a huge seminar coming up this next Saturday, January 26th. And it'll be here at our school from 11 to 3. And I rarely do seminars anymore. But we've had so many requests and so many people want to come to the gym and see the gym and talk training and talk shop that we went ahead and did one for everybody.
And this reality show, this is not the Mark Burnett one. This is one that you've done on your own, right?
Yeah, this is another one. This is actually called Frank Shamrock's School of Hard Knocks, and it's about it's about the school here, but really it's about the lifestyle of becoming a fighter, coming from nothing and worse than nothing. Our casting call was guys who've been in trouble, guys who've been arrested, guys who don't really have anything else. and you know, putting them in our program here, our development programs, and bringing them up from being basic knuckleheads to being pro fighters.
Is there a network out there that you're zeroing in on now, or is it kind of, you know, open waters at this point?
I think it's pretty much open water. I mean, there's a lot of the smaller networks that I think it's a no-brainer too, but you know, I wanted to go big, and that was our goal. So it'll end up where it ends up.
All right, Frank, thanks so much for joining us. March 29th, Frank Shamrock, Kung Lee, and then hopefully in December, brother versus brother, Frank against Kent Shamrock. Best of luck to you, and you know, continued success for the next 10 years and beyond.
Cool. Thanks, bro.